John chapter 17. John 12, we'll read verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John chapter 17. Read the first five verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that is, those who were given him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Both of these passages, Christ is speaking. In John chapter 12, the occasion is the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And the verse we read there, verse 26, is part of Christ's discourse with Philip and Andrew, as it relates to the people who had lined streets, seemingly ready to serve Christ. And also it has reference to certain Greeks that we read of who were seeking Christ, also seemingly willing to serve him. And in verse 26, Christ speaks about service to him. He speaks about what it means to truly serve the Lord. He said twice in verse 26, if any man serve me, if any man serve me. And in place of any man, you and I can insert our own names. In John 17, Christ is praying. It's the real Lord's Prayer. And it is a prayer that unveils the person of the Father, unveils the person of Jesus Christ. It is a prayer that unveils the purpose of salvation, Christ's work in salvation. It is a prayer that unveils what is provided for us in Jesus Christ, in our position in Christ. But also, it is a prayer that reveals Jesus Christ as the servant of God the Father. Verse 4, he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So both passages relate to service to the Lord. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, true service to the Lord. You and I that are saved, we have been left upon this earth at this time to serve the Lord. That's why we're here, to serve the Lord. We have been placed in our particular spot in the world to serve Him. Wherever we are, whatever the time might be, We are to serve the Lord. Now, our area of service may change drastically, but we are to serve the Lord. We have been placed within a certain group of people, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, one another, and again, to serve the Lord. So this is our God purpose. This is our God-given duty, to serve the Lord. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways?" This is God's requirement. "To love him, to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That's why we're here, to serve God. You know, it used to be, I heard it preached many times, and I believe incorrectly so. I mean no disrespect to those who preached it, but I believe it was error. They would preach, "Pastors are never, ever to stop preaching." Well, that's just not so. Health can change, and they're no longer able. It's true of all of us. However we're serving God right now, our health may change and not enable us to do it that way. But as long as we live, we're to serve the Lord. Not necessarily in the same capacity. It may get to the point where all we can do is pray. Then pray. But we are to serve the Lord. And people have a lot of different ideas about what it is to serve the Lord, and have labeled many things. "This is my service to the Lord," which in reality isn't. A servant, of course, is someone that serves. It's someone that performs duties for another. It's one who is of use to another. We may not have the same use, but we are of use to the Lord. It is one who complies with the commands of another, is yielded to another. He's at another's disposal. That's what it means to be a servant. Now, in the Bible, there were two types of servants. There was the hired servant. These, of course, had wages paid to them. They had certain rights. They had certain privileges. There were also bond servants. These had no rights of their own. They were entirely at the disposal of their owner. Now, one would naturally think that to be a bondservant would be a horrible thing. But that would depend on who your owner is. And in the Word of God, when service to the Lord is spoken of, it is a service that corresponds with the bondservant. And what an honor to be God's bondservant. God's bondservant. That's our life calling. That's true of every one of us that are saved. And it is a calling that is to take priority over all other callings. Not everyone's called to pastor. Not everyone's called to teach. Not everyone's called to lead singing. And if you're not called to do that, don't worry about it. It's not your responsibility. What you need to worry about is what is your responsibility? Because we all have a responsibility. A child of God may have a variety of positions in life. We're parents, we're grandparents. Someone might be a banker, someone might be a secretary. I don't know if secretary is politically correct, but who cares? But first and foremost, the servant of the Lord. Parents, servants of the Lord. Grandparents, servants of the Lord. Whatever it is we do, we're to be servants of the Lord. We're to serve God in those capacities. Now, in these two passages that we've read, we're going to look at John chapter 12 first. We may not have time to get to John 17, and if not, we'll continue next week. But in John chapter 12, we have a lesson in serving Christ. In John chapter 17, we have an example. Christ as our example has a servant. But from the text in John chapter 12, we see the rule of serving Him. In other words, there's a way to serve God. You don't just serve God how you want. And we see also there's an honor in serving the Lord. As you read the Gospels, you do not find Christ attempting to get people to serve Him. What I see, though, on more than one occasion, and John chapter 12 is one of those occasions, is when someone expressed an interest in serving the Lord, what did the Lord do? He set down the rules. He would say, if you're going to be my disciple, this is what you have to do. He set down the rules, or He set down the qualifications for serving Him. Today, it's different. Someone expresses an interest in serving the Lord, and pastors almost get out of their mind and, well, we'll give them something to do. Well, I think we'd be better off if we would do what Christ did. Let them know the qualifications for serving the Lord. That's what Christ did. So let's look at the rule of serving the Lord. It says here, if any man, says it twice, John 12:26, if any man, that means no exceptions. If any man serve me, let him, who's the him? The any man. If any man serve me, let him follow me. How much better off we would be when someone says, I want to serve the Lord, and we'd say, follow Him. You can't serve Him until you do. There's no service to the Lord without following Him. Without this follow Him, all so-called service is self-service. To follow Him is to serve Him in the way that He leads, which, may I say, is the only way that you can truly serve the Lord. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. It really doesn't matter what you want to do. If any man serve me, let him follow me. We don't pick and choose. And I don't believe we pick and choose for someone else. True service is following the Lord. We only serve Him as we follow Him. We do not decide how we're going to serve. And it's not up to us to decide what capacity we're to serve. We're to follow Him. And He tells us how to serve as we follow Him and tells us in what capacity. Everything centers around this follow me. And we've preached on this many, many times. Following Christ. It speaks of a life. It speaks of a life. Did not Jesus say, count the cost? Count the cost. We're not talking about something that you do occasionally. We're talking about a life. So count the cost. Count the cost. It's a way of living life. Now these words, follow me, are inclusive of many things, all of which are absolutely required in truly serving the Lord. So what does this, what's included in this follow me? If we're interested in serving the Lord, we must be interested in what is included in this follow me, because we can't serve Him without following Him. First of all, there has to be a proper view and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's who we're serving. We need to realize who it is we're serving. In Matthew chapter 16, Christ is, and we've preached on this many times, Christ is speaking upon the subject of discipleship or serving Him. And He begins in verse 13 with a question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is all leading up to the subject of follow me. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They give their answer in verse 14. Some say that thou art Jeremiah. Some say that thou art one of the prophets. And then we read verse 13. But He saith unto them, whom do ye say that I am? In other words, as far as service goes, it really doesn't matter what everybody else's opinion is of Christ. Who do you say that I am? Peter, the spokesman, answered verse 16 with much assurance, thou art the Christ. He didn't say, we think thou art the Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So from his answer, we see that their view of Christ did not follow the spirit of the world. And if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to have a different view of Christ than the world does. You have to have a different view of Christ than the religious world has. We see also that their views were not to be shaped by the world. And if you and I are going to truly serve the Lord, our views cannot be shaped by the world. So this is a very vital point in service to the Lord. Who do we say Christ is? Now in response to Peter's answer, Jesus said to Peter in the hearing of all, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Revealed what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, Peter, your view of Christ is a God-given knowledge. It is a God-imparted knowledge. And this God-imparted knowledge of Christ is an absolute necessity if we are going to truly serve Christ. Now, again, when Jesus asked, but whom do ye say that I am? He's leading up to his discourse on discipleship. And that's where he begins. Whom do ye say that I am? There has to be, and it's included in this follow me, an attraction toward Jesus Christ. This God-given revelation of Christ, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. This revelation results in our souls being drawn to Christ. Our souls being attracted to Jesus Christ. So much so that it becomes a driving force within us, an attraction for Christ. I got a few people very, very upset with me during a revival meeting that I preached one time. And the whole subject of the message was, examine your service. Are you in love with service? Or the one you serve? I think that's a legitimate question. I think it's something that ought to concern us. I think there are people who are in love with service, that is, the accolades they might receive and all of that. Are we in love with service, or are we in love with the Lord? Where's our attraction? Also, this follow me includes a desire for Christ. There in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said, if any man will, come after me. Come after me is the same as follow in John chapter 12. If any man will, come after or follow me. The word will speaks of a desire. Speaks of a desire. Nobody should be forced to serve. People ought to serve God because they want to. Not because the pastor asked them to do something. They ought to because they want to. Not because mom and dad insist that they do such and such in the church. Because they want to. It conveys the idea of a determination. We ought to have a determination for Jesus Christ. We ought to have a yearning, a longing, a hungering for Jesus Christ. On the part of ourselves, there must be this determination of soul to serve Jesus Christ. So far, we see that there must be a proper view of Christ. If we have a proper view of Christ, we will be attracted to Jesus Christ. And that attraction to Christ feeds the desire for Christ. But the key in John 12, 26 is Christ's repeated reference to himself. He says three times, me, me, me. If any man serve me, there is also the personal pronoun, I am. Christ speaking of himself. And twice he uses the word my. So six times in one verse, Jesus refers to himself. I believe that's very significant. Service is about him. It's not about what makes you and I feel good. It's not about what we get joy in. It's about him. It's always about him. The attraction and the desire He's the object of that. He's the object of the desire. He's the object of the attraction. He's the aim. He's the driving force. A great danger in serving the Lord, and I believe many pastors fall into this, a great danger in serving the Lord is that Christ ceases to be the emphasis. What I mean is, a danger in serving the Lord is that our service becomes a distraction from Him. I know, because I've been there, service can distract you from who you're serving. That's a danger. We can get so busy serving that we lose sight of who we're serving. That's a danger. That's why 6 times in this verse, speaking of service, the Lord mentions Himself. He must be the emphasis of our service. So we must beware of our service pulling us away from Christ. Martha is an example. And I believe that's what Christ was teaching there. Do not allow your service to pull you away from Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, that's not possible. I happen to know different. Been there. And I dare say you have too. We get so busy. Again, a pastor can get so busy studying the Word that he forgets who it's about. It's about Christ. Do not allow your service to pull you away from Christ. Gets back to the old saying, keep the main thing the main thing. That's very true. Christ, not the service, is to be the central object. I've got to do this, 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 this. What's the central object? It needs to be Christ. We must not lose focus upon whom we serve. When Christ ceases to be the central object, service becomes an irritation. Martha, good example. It becomes an irritation rather than a blessing. And again, Martha has our example. We become more focused upon what others are or not doing rather than Christ. Someone is doing what God has told them to do, that ought to be a blessing. But instead, while they're doing it, they begin to think, well, why isn't so-and-so doing this? And they begin to get irritated. You've lost focus. You've lost focus on Christ. Well, the pastor needs to go to talk to so-and-so and get him or her to do this. No, you just need to do what the Lord's called you to do and enjoy it. You see, if Christ ceases to be the emphasis, a wrong spirit always develops. I've been in a lot of churches and I see a lot of wrong spirit in service to the Lord. And I believe it all goes back to they've lost focus upon whom they're serving. Follow me also, of course, includes self-denial. Jesus emphasizes this in verse 24 and 25 of John chapter 12. Verse 25, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And then he goes on to say, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. in all true service to God, self must be renounced. Has to be. How does that come about? Well, it flows from a proper view of Christ. It flows from an attraction to Jesus Christ and a desire to serve Christ. That is, our desire, our resolve, our eagerness, our enthusiasm, our attraction and love for Christ is to be greater than for ourselves. If it is not, you will not deny self. And if you do not deny self, you will not continue to serve the Lord. There have been many who were not going to call into question whether or not they were truly serving the Lord or not. Perhaps they were, perhaps they weren't. But they get offended. And they quit. Why is that? Because it's about them, not about Christ. They didn't deny themselves. You think of how Christ was treated. Don't you dare complain about how we're treated. When you think of how Christ was treated, and He continued on. Someone will say, well, that person's just using you. That may be so. That's not the issue. The issue is serving the Lord. There is no service to God without self being denied. Self is the largest obstacle in service to the Lord. Self. No one else outside of my life is my biggest obstacle. I'm my biggest obstacle. That's always so. Serving the Lord is, you think about denying self, people immediately think, well, I got to give up this, 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 this. And they begin to make a list. And then if someone else doesn't have the exact same list, they're backslidden. Well, it's not merely a matter of giving up certain things. It is a matter of giving up self. And that is continual. It is an ongoing process. And whenever there is a continual giving up self, whatever else should be given up will follow. But you first give up yourself. People will argue, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give that up, and I don't want to give that up. Well, none of those things are really the issue here. The issue is you don't want to give up self. And until you get that settled, nothing's going to happen. When self gets in the way, there will always be misplaced priorities. People say, I need to get my priorities right. That's true, you do. But how do you do that? You deny self. There's the problem. That's the key. Concerns get out of order. Everything's out of order when self is not denied. So service to the Lord involves an aspiration, a yearning, a pursuit of Him. And this requires a proper view of Christ, an attraction to Christ, a desire to serve Christ, and a giving up of self. Also, follow me. Included in that is priority. There is no true service to the Lord if He's not first. He's to be first. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 9, again, a passage we've preached from. I believe the title of that message was Jesus First, Never Next. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For my sake, for my sake, for my sake. That's what it's all about. It's for him. But then notice we have an example. Verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. There's a lot of people that have said that throughout history. And Jesus said unto him, oh, would you please follow me? And he tried to talk him into it. No, it's not what he did. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What's he telling them? Count the cost. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And people have said, oh, that's awful. You can't even go to your own father's funeral? That's not what he's saying. He's using an extreme case here for an example to teach a point. And the point is, Christ must be first. Yes, if a funeral conflicts with serving the Lord, then you're not to go to the funeral. But that's not the issue here. The issue is priority. Jesus Christ must be priority. 61, and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit to the kingdom of God. Christ must be first, not next. Well, I'm going to do such and so. I'm going to do all these things when I retire or whatever. When the kids are out of the house. There's always something. If you don't do it now, what makes you think you'll do it then? Because the issue is not the kids. The issue is not the job. The issue is self. To follow him means that he must have our attention. We must be focused upon him. To follow means to come after, to accompany, to attend, to pursue. And such requires attention. If you're following somebody, you have to pay attention to what they're doing. You have to focus upon what they're doing. If you're following somebody, you can't be looking at everyone else and what they're doing. You have to focus upon who you're following. And so it is with the Lord. If we're going to truly serve Him, He's got to have our attention. To follow, included in that is a closeness to the Lord. To follow someone is to draw near. There is no such thing as true service afar off from the Lord. No such thing as true service distanced from the Lord. You're serving Him. You have to be close to Him. So it leads to a closeness. To follow requires a separation. You have to leave behind something. You go from one place to another. And there is no true serving the Lord without separating from this world. Christ and the world are going two opposite directions. You cannot follow both. You have to leave the world and follow Christ. And why is it that people don't leave the world? I'm talking about the saved. It gets back to denial of self. If you deny self, you have no problem leaving the world. But if self is in the way, guess what? The world's pretty attractive to this old sinful nature. And there has to be a separation. Has to be. To follow Christ also includes believing Him. You have to believe Him. Because what He says and what the world says is two entirely different things. Who are you going to believe? Well, our sinful flesh would like to believe what the world's saying. Again, it gets back to denying self. Believe Christ. To follow Christ also includes obedience to Him. You do not serve the Lord disobeying the Lord. You do not serve the Lord doing contrary to what He would have you to do. There has to be obedience to the Lord. Now, not all obedience is service, because they may do it for the wrong reasons. That's another message. Remember Saul on the Damascus Road when the Lord got a hold of him. Saul said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" That is the attitude of a true servant of the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And it may be something different than we've done all our saved life. It also involves commitment to Him. There's a vast difference between interest and commitment. Someone might say, "I'm interested in serving the Lord in your church." Well, we don't need interest. We need commitment. Big difference. Big difference. Commitment is dedication, devotion, allegiance. A general interest will not do. John chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, the people had lined the streets singing hosannas to the Lord, but they weren't serving Him. They had an interest, but they weren't serving. The Greeks who sought Christ there in John chapter 12, they had an interest, but they didn't serve. It takes more than an interest. True service to God involves a commitment. It involves a life commitment. "Well, Pastor, you need to understand, I work every other Sunday." Well, I don't understand. And I'm not going to try to understand. Because you're wrong. It gets back to denying self. "Well, I can't give up this job. My family's depending on it. The Lord's bigger." You need to trust Him. We need commitment. Commitment in serving the Lord. Following the Lord, it involves an imitation and conformity to Jesus Christ. He is the model servant. We see what follow Him involves. But it's also an honor to serve the Lord. It's an honor to serve God. I don't lose anything by serving the Lord. Serving God may cost us some things, but what we gain far outweighs the cost. So in reality, I don't lose anything worthwhile. We hear Him say, "And where I am, there shall also my servant be." Now that's the result of follow Me. It's only logical. If you follow someone, you follow them long enough, guess what? You're going to end up in the same place they are. And if you follow Christ, guess what? You're going to end up in the same place He is. So He says, "And where I am, there shall my servant be." But if you go the opposite direction, you're not going to get to the same place. So if you serve the Lord, which is following Him, it'll cause you to be where the Lord is. There's no better place to be. There's no sweeter place than to be where Jesus is. You only get to where He is by following Him. It's an honor. Because true service to the Lord brings us to where Jesus is. It implies that there's fellowship with Him in service to the Lord. As you follow the Lord, there's an ongoing, there's a growing knowledge of the Lord, which feeds desire, which feeds attraction, which gives you more incentive to deny self, and on we can go. In following Him, we experience the Lord more, which again feeds those other things as well. There's an ongoing togetherness with Christ. Again, we don't serve the Lord distanced from Christ. We serve with Him. It also gives us an identification with Jesus Christ. No one can truly serve God if they're not willing to be identified with Him. That's why He said, after you deny yourself, you must be willing to take up your cross. And what the cross meant was suffer shame. Well, they're going to laugh at me. They might. They probably will. But if that's your concern, you're not going to serve the Lord. Well, they won't think very highly of me. That may be so. But that's not what it's about. You have to be willing to suffer the shame. You have to be willing to be identified with Christ. Do not let your family intimidate you, or your friends, or your co-workers, or whoever. Anyone in your life. Don't let anyone cause you to be afraid to identify with Jesus Christ. If your employer says, whoever goes to church Sunday is going to lose their job, don't be afraid to say, hey, I was looking for a job when I found this one. Goodbye. Be afraid to be identified with Jesus Christ. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There is no higher honor. There is no higher honor. So serving the Lord is an elevation. It's not a demotion. Never is. It's the highest and most wonderful life that you can live. Serving the Lord. Don't apologize to anyone for serving the Lord. You don't apologize to your kids. Oh, there may come a time, oh, you just made us go to church our whole life. True. And I'm not apologizing. You were strict. We've all heard it. True. And let me tell you something, if I had to do it over, it'd be stricter. Don't apologize for serving the Lord. It's the most enjoyable, peaceful, safest life that you can live. Serving the Lord. Don't view yourself as woe is me because I've got to serve the Lord. View yourself as privileged. Because God enables you and God gives you the opportunity to serve Him. We, as we all know, for the most part, are to be considered an elderly. I always get a kick when someone in their 70s prays for the elderly. But anyway, We are an elderly church for the most part. Some cannot do what they once did. The Lord knows but that we are but dust. He knows that. Sometimes health prohibits us from doing what we used to do, what we would still like to do. Well, why is the Lord leaving me here to serve Him? But I can't do what I used to do. You're not to serve Him in the same capacity. Again, maybe the only thing you can do is pray. When I say only thing, I don't mean that's a small thing. You pray. Whatever it is. Again, I don't know how long the Lord would have me to pastor. I have no idea. I do know, think I know my heart, that I sure don't want to do it longer than I'm supposed to. Don't want to do it when the mind is gone or whatever, or just not able for whatever reason. There can be many reasons. That doesn't mean you quit the Lord. It just means you serve Him in a different capacity. It's a different chapter in your life. Well, I get more tired. I say all the time, I used to be able to drive 10 hours, get out of the car and preach. I can drive the 10 hours, but I'm not going to be preaching. Things have changed. You make adjustments and you serve. We don't quit the Lord, but we strive to serve the Lord in the capacity that He allows us to serve Him in. That He allows us to serve Him in. I believe that most people here have a desire to serve the Lord. Most here are serving the Lord. Don't ever hinder someone from serving the Lord. But also, along those same lines, don't encourage them to serve the Lord in a wrong manner by having them do something that they're really not fit to do. The Lord determines how long we serve, where we serve, what capacity we serve. We're just to be thrilled to death that He lets us serve. And it is an honor to be a servant of the Lord. It is an honor to know servants of the Lord. It is an honor to have known servants of the Lord. We've known many, all of us have, servants of God. What an honor just to have known them. What an honor to just be with people who want to serve God. I want to be with people who want to serve God. I have no enjoyment being with people who have no appreciation for the Lord. We need to be a people who serve the Lord. Times are difficult. No doubt the last days of the last days, the last hours of the last days. But we're here to serve God. That's why He's left us here. And the Lord has brought us together to serve Him together. And that's what we're to do. Service to God is never a competition. Remember, the apostles fell into that. Well, who's going to receive the most honor? The Lord said, really, that's none of your business. That's not what it's about. It's about serving Him. You serve the Lord with the gifts that you have. Don't envy someone else's gifts. Don't try to serve the Lord with someone else's gift that you don't have. It won't work. Whatever ability God's given you, you use that ability in His service. Wherever you go, serve the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.